we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you. This is Bob Arthurs, Pastor of Merritt Assembly of God, and we're thankful that you tuned in to the Refresh radio broadcast today, just a few days until Christmas, and I hope that the stress and the pressure and all of the people are not having a negative impact on you. I hope you're maintaining your peace and your joy as you get close to the Christmas Day celebration. So thank you for tuning in. We do want to say thank you today to Advanced Christian Training Schools. Advanced Christian Training Schools, they meet in our fellowship hall on Tuesday nights from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And if you would like more information about that, you can reach Ted or Linda at 633-0432, 633-0432. They are having class tonight. They are not having class next week, to the best of my knowledge. And so you can still get in, study the Word of God. And I hope you are a student of the Word. I really hope that you read your Word, that your Bible is not simply a coffee table decoration, but you actually get in and study the Word of God. And like we said on the other a broadcast recently, that you show yourself a workman, approved unto God, that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So thank you again for tuning in today. We do want to remind you we have no midweek service tomorrow. We have no vintage service. We have no kids ministry tomorrow night. We do have our Christmas Eve communion service Thursday night from 6 p.m. till 7 p.m. Come in, be a part of that. We're going to be singing a lot of great Christmas carols. We're going to be watching some scenes from Christmas videos. We will be reading the Christmas story. It's a very, very good night, and so we'd like for you to come and be a part of that. We end the night by celebrating communion and the incarnation of Jesus Christ. So we're very, very thankful. Want you to come be a part of that. And then Sunday morning, we have no Sunday school. We have a 10:30 a.m. service, and that will be at no Sunday night service. And then we don't have anything next Wednesday as well. So this is a chance where all of the running that we have been doing, that we get a chance to kind of catch our breath, take care of any facilities issues that might arise, and and get recharged and ready for the new year. So thank you for tuning in today. I want to talk to you today. I want to take you in the Word of God. We're going to be in the book of John again, John chapter 15. We're talking about things that we should remember. And I'm going to use a passage today and a passage on tomorrow's broadcast that is going to be used to just remind us of a couple of things about the Christmas season. These two particular passages are not Christmas related, but the principles that they remind us of are. And so I want to take you to John chapter 15, and we're going to be in verse number 18. Again, these are things that we are instructed to remember. John 15, verse number 18 says this: "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And the passage, or the topic that Jesus deals with in this passage is the topic of persecution. And this Christmas season, I would like to encourage you to remember that there are Christians around the globe who are being persecuted in a very real, tangible manner. In some parts of the world, becoming a Christian means that you no longer are able to live where you've always lived. You are cut off from the family that you've always known. Being persecuted means that you may lose your job. Being persecuted in many countries means that you may lose your life. And that in countries that, quote-unquote, have religious liberties. But in reality, there is persecution that takes place against the Christians. And so I want to encourage you to remember in prayer. You may be able to remember with a donation to a ministry that reaches out to Christians in those parts of the world. I'm not here to delineate them for you. I'm just encouraging you, remember that we live in enemy territory. We live in a hostile environment, and being persecuted, though it's not popular, and I'm going to close this broadcast today by telling you really the key to enduring that type of persecution in a very successful and very godly way. I'm not encouraging you to go out and find your own persecution. I'm not encouraging you to go out and create your own crisis. What I'm here to tell you to do is live for Jesus in hostile territory. Live for him. Let your light shine. My wife, she likes for her life to be what share or what shines. That's what she wants it to be. She is one of the most compassionate people you will ever be around. She is a wonderful, wonderful mother. She's a wonderful wife, a wonderful pastor's wife. And she actually is fully engaged in the ministry. Just a great, great woman. But there are episodes, or there's a word I'm looking for. There are environments in which she finds herself in that she says, you know what? I'm going to let my light shine here. I want people to know that Jesus is real, not because I'm a pastor's wife, but because they see Jesus in me, not because of what my husband does, but because of who Jesus is. He is very real. I was having a conversation one time with a person. They were not a Christian. They were actually from a branch of Islam, and I was sharing Jesus with them and was having a conversation with them. And they said, you know, Bob, you make Jesus sound so real. And I had a relationship with this person. I knew them by name, and I called them by name, and I said, you know, that is the easiest job in the world because Jesus is so real. And we just continued to reach out, not only myself, but other people in the congregation. We just continued to shine the light of Jesus and share the love of Jesus and preach the word of Jesus. And whatever happened to that person, I'm not real sure. All I know is that whenever you and I share the word, that the Holy Spirit takes that word and he begins to minister in people's life. It says here in verse number 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. I do want to remind you that the scripture says that friendship with the world is enmity against God. And that doesn't mean that you can't have friends outside of church. That's not it. It's that you and I, we do not become enamored with the world system. Instead, we have fallen in love with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we have embraced the lifestyle of the Word of God. We do continue to reach out and build relationships with people who are not believers in Jesus Christ, because Jesus died upon the cross so that all could come to repentance and have everlasting life. And so if you find yourself in a situation where people are despising you or hating you or persecuting you or even to an extreme imprisoning you because of your faith, then you've got to understand that before it hated you, it hated Jesus. That's what Jesus said. He said, it hated me before it hated you. One of the great things about God is I am so thankful that he is not just commanding us to do, but the things that he commands us to do, he's already done. It says that he was tempted in every manner the same way that we are, yet without sin. So it is not that God is unfamiliar with your struggles or your pains. He knew what it was like to have people that you love be killed. He was familiar with the ravages of sickness and disease. He knew whatever you are going through, Jesus has been through it. And I just want to encourage you to know that when he says you can make it, you can make it, because he has already successfully gone that journey before you. If you were of the world would love its own. The world loves its own. You know, as much as this world talks about diversity and tolerance and all of that, their definition of that is quite simply this, that they want diversity and tolerance that looks just like them. We are told that we hang out with people who are like, who look like us, act like us, think like us, and all that sort of stuff. I want you to know that's not the case with the body of Christ. When you look at, in Revelation, you are going to find that the body of Christ is going to be represented around the throne with people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every economic status. It's going to be from every representatives from every genealogical age bracket that you can come up with. It's going to be young, old. It's going to be poor, rich. It's going to be every race that you can imagine, segments of societies. It is going to be a total representation of humanity. And yet what happens with the world system is it tends to put people in silos of, okay, you are this political party or you're this political party. You believe in this or you believe in that. You practice this or you don't practice that. You approve of this or you don't approve of this. Everything is siloed, if you will. It is put in little compartments, and this world wants to put you in a little box. And I want you to know that God is bigger than the box. God is bigger than the box. And so whenever your eyes are opened to see the love that God has for humanity, that he just doesn't love young people, but he loves middle-aged people. He loves older people. He loves children. He loves infants. He loves those that are in their mother's wombs. When you learn that God has love for humanity, then all of a sudden you begin to break out of the box and you start getting beyond the boundaries that society wants to use to try and hem you in. And I'll just tell you this. The grave could not contain the body, the resurrected body of Jesus, and the box that the world system has cannot contain the body of Christ in 2015. The fruit of the Spirit, against such there is no law. There is listen, men can pass laws that try and prevent all of that stuff, but there is no lasting supernatural law that is going to be able to hinder and restrict the law of love that God instills into the body of Christ. So he said, if you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And so you will hear things like, well, who do you think you are? What makes you so special and all that? Well, I tell you what makes me special. The fact that Jesus called and he invited me into a relationship with him. There's a story, I've told it a number of times. It is one of my favorite stories. It goes back to an older day of technology, back before, wire or cell phones, and then there were landlines. This goes all the way back to the days of the telegraph, and there was a job opening that was posted in the newspapers, and a young man saw this job opening, and so he went down to the telegraph office, and when he got there, there were a number of people, and actually the room was pretty much filled up with people who were there to apply for the job of a telegraph operator. And they said, well, the line starts over here. And so the young man took his place in line. He found a chair there in the room, and he sat down in the chair, and he had been sitting there for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden he walked up, or he stood up and walked through the door and was gone for several minutes. And people didn't think much about it. And all of a sudden, a few minutes later, he came back in and he said, I just want y'all to know that you can go home. I have been hired as the new telegraph operator. And the people in the room started to get very upset. And they said, wait a minute, I was here before you. They were here before you. How come you got the job when we were here before you? We've gone through all of this waiting process. We have just minded our own business over here. And he said, well, it was very simple. He said, while I was sitting in the chair over there, I heard the telegraph going off, that there was a message that was coming in. And I went in there and I got the message. And it says, if you are hearing this message and you will respond, you have the job. And so I responded that I had received the message. I sent them my contact information, and they sent me another telegraph saying that I was hired. You see, you all were sitting in here in the box, and I was out there actually doing the job. And so whenever you and I begin to step out in faith, or stretch forth in faith and begin to walk in obedience, the world is not going to like that. Listen, there is nothing special. There is nothing unique about Bob Arthurs. The only thing that makes me of any worth at all is Jesus living inside of me. You see, he transformed me from being worthless into being priceless. And if you and I will allow Jesus to call us forth, I'm telling you, he said, because I go to the Father, you shall do greater things than I do. I believe that if we would enlarge our horizons and not allow the world to put us or hem us in to its own nice little neat confinement. You Christians, you just stay and behave yourself over there, and we'll just let you be. You know, that instead, if we would allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and challenge us to live out our faith on a daily basis, I believe that the kingdom of God would grow by leaps and bounds. But the world isn't going to like that. The world thinks that the church ought to mind its own business and stay inside the four walls of the church. But the reality was, when the church was birthed, there weren't even four walls for the church to be in. The day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, it was poured out in the marketplace, if you will. It was poured out in a very open area, and people began to see God doing great and mighty things. There was a sermon that Peter preached that day, and thousands began to cry out, brethren, what must we do to be saved? I believe that that God wants to move so powerfully by his Spirit that people will begin to ask believers, what do I need to do to be saved? What makes your life so different than mine? And remember, it is all about our relationship with Jesus. It says in verse number 20, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So I'm not prophesying that over your life. I'm just wanting you to know that you are part of a body of believers around the globe that does experience real persecution. And we should be praying for them, and we should be supporting them, and we should be doing everything that we can to bring Jesus to those communities. Listen, if Jesus could save Paul, who was a persecutor of the church when his name was Saul, he can still do that today. He can still do that today. It says in verse number 21 that everything they do to you and I, they do for Jesus' namesake, because they do not know him who sent me. Remember, they blaspheme, they speak evil about things they do not know. They persecute people in the name of Jesus Christ because they are ignorant of the Word of God and they do not understand the Word of God. That has really been one of the primary motives over the past several decades, is to cut people off from knowing and talking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you want my opinion, I will give you my opinion. If you don't want my opinion, I'm still going to give you my opinion. It's the Refresh Radio program. So, and that is this. When we as a country began to push God to the sidelines, the amount of problems began to arise. If you want to know what is the problem with our economy and things like that, I will tell you, we have literally murdered hundreds or tens of millions of our own citizens that would have needed houses. They would have needed cars. They would have needed clothing. They would have needed shopping stores. They would have needed grocery stores. They would have needed schools. We have undermined our own economy when we pushed God to the sidelines and we sanctioned the infanticide, the abortion, legalized abortion, and we said, you can't talk about God, you can't pray about God in school, and now you can't even hardly talk about him in the military. What is the solution if you find yourself in a persecuted state? What is the key? What is it that will help you? Because I'm here to tell you that there is not a boot camp that you can go to. There's not a fitness center that you can go to that is going to cause you to be physically tough enough to be able, or mentally tough enough to be able to stand up under the persecution that the world has to offer. But this is in John chapter 15. So let me read verse number 1 to you. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in me, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The reason that I am mentioned persecution is because even though Mary received an angelic visitation and was told she was blessed and highly favored, there was a great deal of social stigmatization that took place. They were ostracized to a large extent. They ended up having to find a new place to live because of the persecution that broke out because of Herod. They had to go to Egypt and dwell there until they had heard that Herod died. And then when they came back, they found out that his son was on the throne. And so they ended up going to Nazareth. To Galilee. So you and I, we need to understand that persecution may come. What is the secret that will help us to be able to endure such persecution? And the secret is found here in John chapter 15. It is quite simply this: abide in Jesus. There's nothing about a future tense, nothing about a past tense. It needs to be our reality, abiding in him. When we know that Jesus is with us, everything is going to be okay. If you right now feel like you're in the midst of the Sea of Galilee and the storms are raging and the waves are coming into the boat and the wind is howling and your ship is going down, I want to reassure you today that Jesus is in the boat with you. Everything is going to be okay. Just ask him to rise up and say, peace, be still, and the winds will obey. It literally amazed the disciples when that happened. If you feel like you are going through the fire right now, I want to remind you of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were cast into the fire bound, but once they got in there, God set them free. And they began to walk around, and Nebuchadnezzar looked in. It was such a raging inferno that the people who threw them in perished, but they did not even come out with a smell of smoke upon their clothes, nor did they have any burn marks on their clothing. And the King Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he said, how many people did we throw in? They said, three. And he said, how come there's four in there? And by the way, that fourth guy looks like the Son of God. I'm here to tell you that God will be with you. And today, no matter what God has called you to do, listen, if he's called you to do something that seems really daunting, something very challenging, praise God. Praise God, because you're not being asked to do that in your own strength, nor in your own resources. You are just being asked to abide in him. You see, the secret in John chapter 15 is he works on the branches, and the more that he works on the branches, the more fruitful the branches become. And so I want to challenge you this Christmas season to make extra time to make your abiding in Jesus something more precious than it's ever been before. Your fruitfulness is not going to be because you work harder or you're more intelligent or anything like that, or you're more gifted. Listen, spiritual fruit that remains only comes as we abide in him. As we abide in him, we can go through good times, and we can most certainly go through bad times. I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, look, last night while that storm was raging, there an angel of the God whose I am and who I serve, he stood beside me, and he told me that I was going to get through this and y'all were going to get through it too. Praise God that you and I have the privilege of abiding in the presence of the living Savior. Father, bless everyone today with your very real manifest presence in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.